take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I started to say it's good to see Valerie, but I don't know whether it's good to see her or whether we... Tomorrow's a due date, isn't that right, Valerie? Amen. We're praying for you, young lady. Amen. Getting ready to have that sweet baby that God's given. And we'll continue to pray. Amen. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. 58th chapter of Isaiah. We'll start reading at verse number 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again I want to thank you for the wonderful grace of God. I thank you for the Bible, God's Word, and I want to thank you for the privilege we have to meet here today, and Lord, hear this message from your Word. This preacher certainly needs your power, needs your wisdom. I ask, Lord, that you be honored and glorified throughout all these services and everything that's said and done. And Father, when anything is good is accomplished, Lord, we know that you've done it, and we certainly will give you the honor and the praise for it. We thank you now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be basically taking my text from verse number 12. He says, And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've simply entitled, The Repairing of the Breach. Repairing of the Breach. The word breach means like a breaking forth or a gap in something. In military circles, a lot of times they'd have a military line and they would have a gap or a breaking forth into the military line where the enemy was able to break through. And they would call that a breach. And that's what God is talking about here. There's breaches in Israel's life. This was dealing with the time when Israel was going to come back from captivity. They'd been in captivity for 70 years. They're going to come back to captivity. There was a lot of breaches, a lot of gaps, a lot of breaking forth in the life of the Israelite people. And he said, if you come back and glorify my wonderful name and do what you're supposed to do, he said, well, you'll be called the repairer of the breaches. Amen. That's a wonderful thing, to be called a repairer of the breaches. I'm convinced. I'm still convinced. Have been for a long time. We need to repair some breaches. Here in America, we need to repair some. And I'm doing my best. I know where I'm doing my best now, but I'm trying very hard to repair some breaches. And we need to do that. We need to do that. Blessed Old Baptist Church. That's why we need to keep it strong. Keep it strong. Keep it down the line. Keep no gaps in there where the old devil can get through. Well, that's a constant work. Constant work. You got to just keep at that all the time. You got to keep those gaps repaired. You see, and so that's what he's talking about here on Israel. And so we're going to bring a message which I've simply called the repairing of the breach. I want to go over. Won't you go with me to the book of you can keep your place there, but go with me over to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, please. I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but of course, this chapter is certainly one of those chapters that's well known, it's read a lot, it's talked about a lot, talking about the coming again of the Lord, and he gives some of these things, he tells them to his disciples, some of the things that's going to happen as he gets ready to come, when he comes again. So I'm going to kind of skip into some verses. You'll understand that's the purpose of the scripture here. But in verse number 3, they ask a question, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" I believe something. I believe as you look around at all the evidences and all the things that are going on in America, and I suppose around the whole world, but in America especially, I believe all you can say is Jesus is coming. Now, I knew, you know, we can say that whether we see anything or not. We know Jesus is coming. But I believe as you see all the things that's happening in the world, your heart kind of does a flutter and say, you know what? He's coming. Because of the things that is happening and that we're seeing those happen, we know Jesus is coming. And so they had asked the question, well, what's it going to be like when you come again? In verse number 6 and 7, verse number 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." Now, and he says all these are the beginning of sorrows. One of the things he said, the world is going to be in a time of turmoil. When Jesus gets ready to come again, he said that the end is not yet, the whole end is not yet, but he's coming back in the rapture. He's coming back to get his people. And he said the world will be in a time of great turmoil. And certainly it is today. In verse number 9, he says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now I realize this is not just pointing to the church age, but what I'm saying is, he's saying to his people, you're going to suffer. You're going to live in a time of suffering. You know, we're so anemic in our Christianity today. You know, a little suffering comes our way, and we wonder if the whole world's coming to an end. But God said that's the way it's going to be in the end times. There's going to be some suffering for God's people. Amen? And then in verse number 11 and 12, he says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And he says during those times, he says there's going to be what I would just simply call corruption in Christianity. The false prophets are going to be everywhere trying to bring in their false teachings and bring those in and destroy the true teachings of the Word of God. And he says during that time, the love of many is going to wax cold. And I want to say to you folks, there's a lot of waxing cold in America today. Even amongst the Christian church, the Christian people today, there's just a lot of waxing cold. There's no zeal for God Almighty. So he said that's the way it's going to be during these times. And then in verse number 36, he says in verse 36, let's see here, he says, "But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, but the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, he said it's going to be like it was back in the days of the flood, back in the days of Noah, back in the days, if you read on back in the days of Lot, it's going to be those kind of days when Jesus gets ready to come again. It's going to be those who are really uncaring about spiritual things. They just don't care much about the things of the Spirit of God. And yet, in verse 14 of chapter 24, he talks about, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." I believe the gospel is still being preached. Maybe not the whole world isn't getting saved, but the gospel is still being preached, and the Word of God is still going forth. And that's what our responsibility is. Just keep preaching, no matter what happens. Just keep preaching the Word of God, teaching about salvation, telling people how to be saved. That's what God wants us to just continue to do. But what he was telling Israel was this: when they returned from their captivity, they was going to have to restore a lot of breaches. And if they did that, they'd be doing that which God wanted them to do. I believe, again, there's breaches that we need to restore in America, but especially I believe there's breaches we need to restore in the church. I believe there's some gaps. I believe there's some going forth, and that's what that word means, some going forth, some going into, you know, a gap there and going through. I think that some of those need to be plugged up. You see, and so we're going to talk about those a little bit. We live in such a I guess you would call it a broken world. We live in, when there is just so many things that are broken today. There's marriages that are broken, families that are just broken today, children's lives that are just broken. Bobby was telling me down at camp, this junior camp, when he went down there, he said he got talking to one of these little boys, and this little boy started following him around. You know, he has a way of kind of attracting those these guys, and this boy kind of followed around talking to him and everything, and he got to talk to him one day, and he was having a little bit of trouble with his sister. And he said that he, so Bobby got talking about him, how he ought to treat his sister, you know, and back and forth a little bit. I think it was a two-sided thing there. But anyway, so he got to talking to him about that. You ought to treat your sister right. And he said, well, he said, I got three sisters and two brothers. And so he began to ask him a little about it. And he said, and none of them have the same daddy. None of them. And he said, my real daddy just got out of jail. Just got out of jail. And he said, I don't see him. He just got out of jail, and I don't see him much. He's out here drinking with his friends or running here and there, and he said he don't spend any time with me whatsoever. And I thought about the broken lives. And folks, that story can be told over and over and over and over and over again. All over America, that kind of story can be told. What I'm simply saying to you, folks, there's just broken lives everywhere. There's broken morals everywhere. We don't understand. Many of you younger people do not understand what morals used to be like in America. Now, I didn't say they was perfect. But in the life that you're living right now, I mean, I'm talking about in the last 20 or 25 years or even up to 30 years, you don't understand the way it used to be. They used to have morals. I mean, people lived right, did right. If someone was living with somebody outside of marriage, that was a dirty, rotten sin. And it was considered that. And it's still a dirty, rotten sin. Those people can be forgiven. Those people can be saved. All of those things, thank God for it. I'm glad they can. I'm just simply saying it's still wrong. But years ago, it was looked down upon and said, that's just wrong. That's just wrong for that to happen. And used to be, people stood for some things, but nowadays, we just kind of take everything for granted that that's just the way it is in today's society, but it's not the way it ought to be. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying these people can't be saved. Sure, they can be saved. That's the way God wants. God wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to Christ and to be saved. Yes, he does. That's right. But I'm just simply saying to you folks, we in today's world, morals are broken and they're a mess today all over this country. And we're accepting that thing like it's just simply all right, you know. But it is not all right. In the eyes of God, it is not all right. Amen? So we just live in a broken world, you see. And as I said, morals have just completely broken down. Let me tell you a statement. Have anybody ever heard of the man called Lenin? I guess he was the founder of the communist system, basically. Listen to what he said. Here's what he said. Years and years and years ago. He's dead now, but years and years ago, here's what he said. The strategy of successful warfare is to create such moral degeneration in the enemy that when the time comes to strike, victory will be easy. See, he didn't say get a bigger army than them. He didn't say get all the armaments and all of the things and get the A-bomb and all those kind of things and we can defeat our enemy. He said you destroy them morally and they're an easy target. Now, folks, if you understand what's going on in America, we are being destroyed morally. And have been doing that for a long, long time. Those breaches need to be repaired. We need to get back to the old-fashioned morality. Good old Bible morality. Brother Ross, your morality? No Bible morality. What God says is right and what is wrong. We need to get back to that and realize that when God said these things were wrong, they were wrong. And they're still as wrong today as they ever have been. Amen? So we need to repair those breaches and get back to those good old days of morality, that the Word of God is true, and when God says something is sin, it's sin. Right? We need to rebuild that, you see. The Bible says that righteousness exalted a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. See, righteousness is what's going to exalt a people, you see. So we need to get back to this righteousness, you see, Bible righteousness. So they need to be repaired. Now let me tell you how they're going to get repaired. They're not going to get repaired by legislation. I believe something with all my heart. I hope we get a decent president. I want to see us get a decent president. But what I want to tell you is the president is not the answer. Maybe him leading us in the right direction, if he would lead us back to God, that would be the answer. But if he doesn't lead us back to God, he don't have the answer. Now, you may think he has the financial answers and all of those things, but folks, if we don't get back to God in this country, we have no hope. And new legislation and new laws is not going to be the answer. It's not what we need in America. We need new legislation as far as God is concerned. Get that restored when God, that relationship between God and man is concerned. And get back to the old legislation of the Bible, the Word of God. Get back to that. See, what needs to happen is people need to come to know Christ. That's what's going to help this country, you see. And we need to repair that breach between man and God. And the only way that can be repaired is to bring them to Christ. Reconcile them unto the Lord. That's the only way it'll ever be done, you see. Because most folk today refuse to let Jesus Christ rule their life. They just refuse it. I'm even talking about Christians refuse to let Jesus Christ rule their life. Would you be willing as a Christian to simply say, from now on, you can rule my life? I didn't say, Brother Ross, rule your life. I said, Jesus Christ, rule your life. The Bible, rule your life. Would you be willing to say to the Lord, when I see something in the Bible, when I'm doing contrary to what the Bible says, I'm going to let Jesus Christ rule my life? You see, that's hard to say, isn't it? All at once, we want to hedge on that. We want to pull back on that. But that's what's going to have to happen. If we're going to restore these breaches, we're going to have to get back and say, God, you can control my life. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to be, I want to be that, you see. You see, Paul's heart cry was that we be reconciled to God once again. That was the heart cry of Apostle Paul. We need to get reconciled back to the Lord. We need to get back where we believe that He's the boss. He's the one that's going to run things. He's the one that's going to tell us what to do. You see, that's a breach that has a gap in it. And as Christians, we sit there and we'll say amen to things. But boy, when it comes down into the personal thing, could you say right now in your heart and life, say, Lord, the preacher didn't say what he said, but I am willing to do whatever you say according to your word. Would you be willing to do that? Is there a hesitation? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see the problem we've got? See, that's some breaches that need to be repaired. We need to get back to saying, God, you are the boss. Whatever you say, whatever Jesus Christ wants for my life, that's what I want. Amen? So we need to repair that breach. I know this, and I have never been in war. I know some of you fellas have. My heart goes out to you. I know I have never been in it, but I know enough to know that whenever there's an enemy out there wanting to destroy you, one of the things he wants to do, first of all, is destroy your line of communication. If he can destroy your line of communication, you can't get reinforced. You can't get all. You can't talk to those in charge. You can't talk to those that's somewhere else where you find out what's going on over there. They destroy the line of communication. That's how they defeat an enemy. If they can do anything, they'll destroy that line of communication. Do you understand what the enemy has done to the Christian world? The enemy has destroyed our line of communication. There's hardly anybody prays anymore. Lines of communication has been destroyed. And folks, without the lines of communication repaired, those breaches repaired, we can't get anything done. We've talked about that in our Sunday school class. We've been dealing about this thing on prayer in our Sunday school class. Folks, we've got to get back to praying. I'm talking about real praying. You see, the line of communication, Satan has been so effective in destroying the line of communication between man and God. Because you don't have time to pray. I shouldn't say you don't have time. You don't take time to pray. There's too many busyness of life that comes in, and we do everything else but pray. Well, when that line of communication is destroyed, folks, the enemy's got us right where he wants us. Amen. That's why Brother Poet come up here and talked about prayer. Had him come up here and talk about prayer. We're concerned about this. We really are concerned about it. We want to see a good prayer program. We want to do some things so that God will be able to bless our revival. You know, we've got to repair that breach. Now we got to get back to praying. I'm not trying to be mean to you, folks. I'm not trying to be down on you. I'm just simply saying we've got to start praying. When the lines of communication with God are broken, we're in trouble. Amen? And I don't think I have to spend time, and I'm sure I don't have to. You and I both know that it's a command of God to pray. So it's not. I'm not asking you to do something that God doesn't want you to do. Certainly God wants us to pray. So I don't have to convince you of that. You know, that's part of the Christian life. God wants us to pray. So we've got to go back and establish those lines of communication. We've lost touch with heaven. And we have a wonderful God who absolutely can do anything. Amen? There's nothing he can do. Nothing too hard for him. Look over. Well, let me get back to Isaiah. I'll be there in a minute. Isaiah 58. Look at Isaiah 59. Just look what he says. We may come back here, but just look at the first verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Does anybody in here believe that God's hand is shortened to where he can't answer what needs to be done? Well, of course not. That would be silly. We know that God can do anything. The problem really is that we have broken. There's a gap in our line of communication with God Almighty between man and heaven, and we don't pray anymore. We don't ask God to do these wonderful things for us that needs to be done. So that breach needs to be repaired, you see. And I believe any time you repair a breach, it costs something. Folks, it's not something you just say, okay, God, repair that breach. You always had to fight for it. You always had to fight for the lost ground. There's been lost ground there that's been lost, and we got to fight for that. We got to get back doing what God said to do, and get to pray, and get to doing right, and get our communications back with God. You see, we've got to do that, folks. We can't quit. Our nation's at stake. Our homes are at stake. Our churches are at stake. We've got to get back to God, and it's not going to be done easily. You say, Brother Ross, how's that done? Well, let me show you something in our text back here in Isaiah the 58th chapter. I want to show you, I'm off of it. Isaiah the 58th chapter, verse number 13. Listen to what it says. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. Do you notice what he's saying is this? If you want to get those breaches repaired, we're going to have to get back to doing what God says instead of what we say. You know, when it comes Sunday, when it comes time to come to church, I know the Sabbath. I know that was on a Saturday. I know all those things. I'm smart enough to understand that. But when it comes Sunday, we ought to just say, you know what, I'm not going to come today. I'm going to do something else today. We're going to be in God's house. We're going to quit saying, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm going to do. No. We need to just say, I'm going to be in God's house. I'm going to do what is right. But I think it extends far beyond just talking about being in church. I think it's very important. But I think he's talking about not doing thy own pleasure. But he says, nor speaking thy own words. It's getting back. If we want these breaches repaired, we're going to have to get back to just simply as we talked about earlier. We're going to have to start doing what God says. We're going to have to speak in what God says. We're going to have to get back instead of what we want to do, what our pleasures is. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And get back to seeing that the work of God is accomplished and the work of God is done, you see. You know, I don't know how long you're all going to live, but if you live to be 100, all of you live to be 100. I don't want to live that long, but you live to be 100. That'd be all right. You live to be 100 years old. Do you realize after 100 years old, what's it going to be? What happens then? Eternity. And those years ain't going to mean anything if you didn't do something for God.
Not a thing. Ain't going to amount to nothing if you don't do something for God. Amen? And after that 100 years, say you live to be 100 years, what happens then? Eternity comes and you'll be with Him. If you're a saved, you'll be with Him forever. But all of those years will mean nothing if you didn't do anything for Him. We're not to live this life for our own pleasure, for what we want to do, but we're to do it according to the will of God. Amen? So that breach is going to have to be restored. We're going to have to get our hearts right to saying, God, You're the one that determines where I go, what I do, and what I say, and all of these things. You're the one that determines those things. In chapter 59 of the book of Isaiah, I want to start reading down through there. I want you to listen as the Word of God speaks. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. See, the problem was not God. The problem was the human being, was us. He said, your sins have separated you. It's because why God has hid His face from you. And He says, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of the eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Now listen, as he speaks, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth there shall not know peace. And he says, there is judgment far from us. What he means there is, when he talks about judgment being far from us, there is no judgment on the enemies. On their enemies. In America, there's not judgment on the enemies of America today. We've turned away from God, and God lifts His hand of protection in America. I'm simply saying this is what happened to Israel. He says in verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. What he's talking about there, we become blind, spiritually blind. We have no spiritual eyes to behold what is going on around us. And he talked about as dead men. He talks about he's basically speaking of spiritually dead. What I'm saying is when we get away from God, there's a lot of consequences for getting away from God. There's things happen to our nation. There's things happen to our churches. There's things happen to us individually because we get away from God. We're not willing to come back to the Lord and do what God says instead of what we want to do. You see, and so there's consequences because of that. Do you know people used to go to church to meet God? I mean, to really meet God. Now they may come just to kind of hear something about Him. But you know what? I believe a church is a wonderful place to come meet God. I believe it's come to hear about Him, certainly hear the Word of God preached, but come and meet God. Let God do something in our lives, you see. It's not a matter of just coming in, sitting down, and getting the sermon over and walking out. Something should happen. I mean, we ought to meet God here, you see, in church. And now there's all kinds of financial hucksters all over the world that's worried about their own personal incomes and own personal kingdoms that they're trying to build, which is on a lot of them's on TV and all these other things, and some of them is in churches. Folks, that's not what it's all about. It's not us about us personally. It's about God and His glory and His honor. And a house of God ought to honor and glorify God Almighty. We've just got to do that. I told our Sunday school class, not trying to be repeat, but some of you didn't hear it. Listen, folks, even your prayers, the answer to your prayers must be for the glory of God. You want somebody saved? I told our Sunday school class, you want somebody saved? You want this person saved? Don't go to God and say, I want them saved because it'll make my life easier if this old rotten husband will get saved. That's the wrong motive. No, you want to get somebody saved so God will be honored and glorified. And all that we do, everything that we do, we want to see God honored and glorified, you see, in everything we do. And so that's what's happening. We've got to repair that breach. We've got to get back to the honor and glorifying of the Lord. You see, it's not about beautiful buildings. We're building on back there. But the purpose for that building is not that this place will have a beautiful building. It's so we get boys and girls in to hear about Jesus. Why? So we can honor God with it. See, that's what the whole purpose of this is. That's why we ask you to come. That's why we ask you to come and give up your times on your Saturdays and other times. That's why we do that. So God will be honored and God will be glorified. We can get those Sunday school rooms ready so that boys and girls can go in there and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and God be honored through that, you see. That's what it's all about. So when you give up your extra time and you come and you work, like many of you did yesterday and this past week, folks, you've done it for Him. Done it for the glory of God. Amen. See, that's the way it ought to be. You see, it's not the building of bigger banquet fellowship halls. What we ought to be doing is be building bigger prayer halls. Amen. See, it's not a matter of all these other things. Sure, we might do some of those things. We had a meal together yesterday. All the workers were to eat. The ladies provided that thing. Thank God for that. But folks, it's not about a banquet hall. It's about prayer halls. It's about getting things right with God. It's about doing something to honor and glorify our God. Preachers used to study and pray. Now they socialize and promote. No. Preachers have got to study. Preacher's got to pray. That's why God gave him that work to do. You know, that's my major work, is to study and pray. Do you know that's what the Word of God tells me? That's my major work. That's what I'm supposed to do, is study and pray. I may do some other things, but my major work is to pray and study. See, if I don't study to feed you, I failed you, and I failed my God. Amen. You see, we got to get back to some of the old-fashioned things, what God speaks about in His Word, and do what we're supposed to do, you see, in His Word. You know, Dr. Lee Robinson one time was asked why there's not a lot of young people, a lot of men answering the call to preach anymore. And he said, you know, I'm not sure, but he said, I sure am worried about it. Here's what Dr. Robinson said. He said, I've never seen it like this before. Now, around here, we've seen some folks answer the call to preach. We're grateful for that, but I want to tell you, I don't know, Brother Joe, do you see it as you travel? Do you see a lot of people answering call to preach? Don't see very many. See young people answering. All across this land, there's a lot of people you don't see anymore young people answering the call to preach. And one of the reasons is, let me tell you one of the reasons is, they're too interested in how to make a living and make a bunch of money so they can live well. They wouldn't want to give up a life of preaching, give up a life of earning money to preach. I just want to say one thing. God had one son and He made him a preacher. But no, today the emphasis is on, well, how are you going to make a living? Why don't you go out and make a million? How much money can you make? Instead of, why don't you give your heart and life to God and let Him use you? See, this is happening in all America. We see a little of this. We see some people answering call to preach, and we think it's great. Well, I think it's great too, but I want to tell you right now, folks, across America, we're in trouble. There ain't near enough folk out there whose lives are being turned over to God so that He can use them. Amen. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, folks, we've got to get away from that. And we've got to look at our children as a heritage of the Lord and say, God, I'm going to raise them so they'll be used of You. Whatever You want to do with them. You want to send them to Africa? You want to send them to America? You want to send them behind a pulpit? Whatever you want to do with them, do something with them. Whatever it is. See, instead of, boy, how can I train them so that they can build Pharaoh's kingdom, pick up straw and bricks for the rest of their life. Deacons used to be men of faith, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now it's how big of a standing do they have in the community. How they stand in the community is what's important in a lot of churches on who becomes a deacon, instead of who kneels before God and prays. I want to tell you right now, it's much more important than what standing you may have in the community. Do you kneel before God? See, those breaches need to be healed. Churches all over America, I know some of them. I've been in some of them. I've been in a lot of them. Churches all over America has got deacons in them that don't even know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Have no understanding of it whatsoever.
What I'm saying is them breaches need to be healed. Amen. We need to repair those breaches. So let me say to you that I believe something. I believe prayer is one of the gauges of spirituality. I believe you can pretty well gauge where your spiritual life is by just looking at your prayer life. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I just said, where is your prayer life? It pretty well is going to gauge how you are spiritually and how you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. See, you let somebody in a church miss a play practice or a choir rehearsal, and the whole church gets upset. But you let somebody miss prayer meeting, and no one gets upset. And the preacher's not supposed to say anything. Let them miss a ball game, and everybody gets upset. Miss prayer meeting, and no one says a word. Tain't right, folk. Tain't right. No, it ain't right. Amen. Those breaches need to be repaired, you see. I believe this. I don't believe it's the healing of our nation that needs to be prayed for. I believe it's the healing of our churches. I believe if we'll heal our churches, we'll heal our nation. Our churches need to be healed. Our churches need to have some breaches repaired in them. And that'll take care of our nation if we just do that, you see. A man wrote a little article. I copied it a couple, 3 years ago. It's not me. I want you to listen to what he said. He was talking about the electronic church. He said the New Testament church was not electronic, it was electrifying. He said the church fresh from the upper room invaded the world. Now the church in the supper room is invaded by the world. He said the New Testament church did not depend on moral majority, but rather on holy minority. The church right now has more fashion than passion. It is more pathetic than it is prophetic. Is more superficial than supernatural. The church the apostles ministered in was a suffering church. Today we are a sufficient church. Events in the spirit-controlled church were amazing. In this day, the church is often very just amusing. The New Testament church was identified with persecutions, prisons, and poverty. Today, many of us are identified with prosperity, popularity, and personalities. Amen. You see, we've come a long way from what the first church was. Come a long way. And we need to repair some gaps, some breaches. We need to get some things back the way it used to be, the way God's Word said it was. We need to repair those breaches, you see. Over in Psalms 94th chapter, he says, who will rise up for me against evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? God's asking a question and saying, who'll stand up? Who'll step in the gap? Who'll stand up and be willing to just do what is right to do? Will you? Can I ask you a question? Will you? Will I be willing to step up in the gap and do what's right to be done so that we can repair some of these breaches that's happened in the church over these many, many years? Go with me over to the book of Ezekiel just for a moment. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. of Ezekiel. I'll read verse number 30 and 31. And he says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You know, God said he sought for a man among them that should take up the hedge and stand in the gap. What I'm simply saying to you, I believe God's still looking for some folk to just simply step up and in the gap and take their stand. I think God's looking for you. I think he wants you to just be willing to step up into that gap and repair that breach and get back to doing the things that God wants you to do, and so that we can do something about the healing of our churches. Don't you? You know, over in Isaiah, the 64th chapter of Isaiah, the first verse, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down." I believe with all my heart the one thing we need is for God to come down. When I say that, come down amongst us and work amongst us. We need those breaches repaired. And the only way we can do that is let God do that for us. And be willing in our hearts to repair those breaches and get back doing the things that we ought to do to the glory of God. You see, we need men to stand up in the gap. We need young boys and boys to stand up and answer the call to preach the Word of God. Be a missionary, whatever it may be. We need that. We need you to be willing. And I know the calling of God has to be on you. I know that. But you've got to be willing. You've got to offer yourself and say, "God, use me." You see. Don't worry about what you're going to do in life and how much money you're going to make in life and what you're going to be in life. If God allows you to do that, that's fine if that's His perfect will. But you need to offer yourself to the will of God for your life. See, we need men to stand up and say, "I'm going to step in the gap. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for my family. I'm going to be that for my family. I'm going to be that for my church." We need to see that, you see. And then we need intercessors. We need people to repair that breach of prayer. And we need people interceding day on day after day after day after day to God Almighty in prayer. I wish we could gather a great army of prayer warriors. I think we have some. Don't get me wrong. I think we have some. I wish we'd add to that. I wish we'd add to that and have just a whole army of prayer warriors that just every day just pray to God, get along. And you know, some of you have time to do that. Some of you have time. We waste a lot of time. But you have time to do that. Get along with God, pray, and ask God to do some wonderful things for us. Oh, we need intercessory prayer. Amen. I would pray today that you'd make a decision today. I'm going to be a prayer warrior here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm just going to be a prayer warrior. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to take time. I'm going to go to the throne of grace. I'm going to pray that God will do some marvelous things. You got plenty to pray about. I wouldn't have to tell you what to pray about. There's multitudes of things to pray about. Amen. Also, that we'll stand up in the gap and say, "I'm going to be one of these people that God's been looking for. I'm just going to stand up in the gap, do what is right, be willing to do whatever God wants me to." Amen. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Say, "Brother Ross, I know today if I died, I'd go to heaven because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know for sure. I know that. I know if I died right today, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure of that. Would you just raise your hand, please, and then you can put it back down. Thank you so much." Say, "Brother Ross, I'm not sure if I died today whether I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure I've been born again. I don't know if I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If I died today, I'm not sure whether I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please, and I'll pray for you. I won't call your name out. I won't do anything like that. I'll just pray for you." Okay? Anyone, please. You say, "Brother Ross, the message today, certainly God stirred my heart concerning the fact that there is some breaches that need to be repaired in my life and certainly in our church and our country. And I believe God touched me personally this morning and spoke to my heart personally about some matters, or just about wanting to be one of those that stands in the gap, one of those that wants to be an intercessory prayer warrior. I just want to pray." Whatever it might have been that God spoke to you about, but God spoke to me specifically about something this morning. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you so much. Hands. Thank you again. Anyone, please? Anyone else? God spoke to me. We're going to pray, and then we're going to give an invitation. We just ask you to do accordingly. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God loves you, wants to save you, wants to give you eternal life. You come, we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You're here as a Christian. You made a decision this morning. You believe God wants you to seal that decision here in an altar prayer. We invite you to come as we pray. Father, thank you now so much for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness, your kindness. And I pray for those who lifted their hand, Father, this morning, said, "God dealt with me about a matter in my life, about something that I'm truly concerned about now, and they need God's help, Lord. They need your strength. They need your help. We pray for them. We ask your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen."